This is Audible.
Day Street and Harper Audio present Blame It on Bianca Del Rio, the expert on nothing with an opinion on everything, by Bianca Del Rio. This is the author. To all those people out there who desperately need my advice but won't get it because, A, I'm just one woman. B, I'm out there trying to make a living, taping my dick to my ass and stuffing my balls in a dress so I can entertain people who can't entertain themselves. Or C, I don't give a fuck. Author's note. Dr. Phil is a fat, loud blowhard with a Texas twang and male pattern baldness. I wouldn't suck his dick for $1 million, but it turns out he's worth $400 million, and for that amount of money, I'd wear his balls as earrings. I'm hitting my knees as I type. Let's get real. The odds of my hooking up with Dr. Phil are as slim and curved to the left, but the odds of my making money giving advice like Dr. Phil are pretty good. Wait, I kneel corrected. I give better advice than Dr. Phil. Why? Because his advice is based on education and expertise and know-how, and my advice is based on nothing but years and years of insightful prying and corrosive gossip. That's why. I don't know if I can make $400 million, but I am something of a household name, at least in the houses of gay men, fag hags, and parents who keep wondering why their teenage son Billy doesn't have a girlfriend yet seems to know a lot about contouring. So I should be okay. About a year ago, I began asking my audiences, my fans, and even my haters all over the world to send me questions they'd like the answers to or problems they'd like solved. I can't tell you how many questions I got. I don't mean that metaphorically. I mean it literally. I mean, really, really bad at math. And my loyal self-assistant, Jamie, is equally useless at the counting thing. What I do know is that I've gotten enough letters to write a book. Or two. Or three. Depending on whether or not you tell your friends, families, and fuck buddies to buy this book, so we'll turn up a nifty profit and my publisher will say, "My God, fuck Dr. Phil. Blame It on Bianca Del Rio is literally a goldmine. We must have a sequel." Another author's note. I know it's not proper editorial form, whatever the fuck that is, to have a second author's note, but I was having cocktails when I wrote the first one and left this out. So, I received 6 billion trillion letters, emails, and Facebook posts from people asking me for advice. If that sounds like a lot, I assure you it's true. Donald Trump told me that he heard this from people who told him that they read it somewhere. Needless to say, a lot of the questions I was asked was somewhat alike in nature, tone, and language. So when you're reading this hilarious book and think to yourself, "Oh my God, that's my letter," it's not. Also, I've changed a lot of the names, not to protect the innocent, but to protect me from the crazy bitches who will call and write an email over and over saying, "Oh, Bianca, thank you so much for using my letter. I knew you liked me." Bitch, I didn't use your letter. You just think I did. Because you're a narcissist in desperate need of counseling or medication, in which case, don't forget to share. I also got lots of emails and letters saying, "I read a question just like that in Dear Abby," which tells me two things. Number one, you're old, Dear Abby's been dead for years, and two, you need counseling. No healthy, sane person remembers random advice questions years later. Get some help. FYI, there are a lot of advice columnists all over the world. Check out Svetlana, that Siberian husky that makes me howl, especially when she gives advice on diet and exercise. Poor thing's never been inside the Kremlin because she can't fit. Also, Abby Ann Landers, Amy, the snotty queen in the Sunday New York Times, and my uncle Nunzio, who has an opinion on everything and a cleft palate. He doesn't so much give advice as to test your patience, and most of the questions we receive are similar. They're usually about romance. I'm in love with a werewolf. Sex. My werewolf boyfriend comes too quick. Money. I think my caregiver is stealing my Medicare benefits. Or family. My relatives are nice to my brother's kids, but not mine. Do you think it's because they're part werewolf? So don't be shocked if some of the questions feel familiar. With the possible exception of me and Edward James Olmos, dermatologist, everyone in the world has the same fucking problems. So get over yourselves. You're not unique. In fact, you're probably a tad boring. And like everything else, I say that in a kind, loving way. Oh, and it's also entirely possible I just made this shit up. Love you all so much. Mwah. Anyway, before I get to the meat and potatoes of the book, your needy questions, and my bitter, unqualified responses, I want to thank everyone who wrote in questions. Without you, I'm nothing. Okay, that's not true. Without you, I'm still fabulous, and my career is on the way up, 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 up. What's true is that without you, it would have been much harder for Jamie, me, to write this book. So thank you for taking the time to share your details from your pathetic personal lives with me and the world. Chapter 1, I Found a Lump. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Benjamin Franklin. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man ready for hospice care. Bianca Del Rio. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. In fact, other than the fact that I once blew an OBGYN in a parking lot, I have no connections to health and well-being whatsoever. Yes, I go to the gym, and yes, I work out, but not for health reasons. I have to squeeze my ass and balls into a size 6 moo-moo, so I can't afford to gain weight or it'll cost me a fortune at Lane Bryant. I received quite a few questions on the subject, including a half-written letter from an anorexic who ran out of energy and died when she tried to conjugate the verb purge. Bianca, being disabled and having a hearing and sight impairment, I find it so difficult in nightclub settings to see my absolute favorite queens, which includes you. What advice would you give me to make it easier for people like me to enjoy a gig or event? I always find it hard to ask the event organizers for help. I don't know what help to ask for. When I went to your event in Belfast, I got VIP tickets in the third row, and it was so hard to see you and lip read. I wish I could enjoy the full experience like a normal person. Any advice would be appreciated. Love you always and forever, Danielle. Dear Danielle, so you're disabled, half deaf, and half blind? Why not add cradle cap and spina bifida to the mix? How about tuberculosis or shingles? Maybe you can get a job as the Elephant Man's girlfriend. I don't mean to be callous, Danielle, but I think easy access entertainment is the least of your problems. But I do have a solution for you. Have a celebrity, other than me, I am way too busy and cripples annoy me, hold a telethon for you on TV. Look how great it worked out for comedian slash scumbag Jerry Lewis. You'll be on stage, on camera, as the poster child sidekick for the entire time. If you do well, look the wrong way, drool on cue, strain to hear the band, etc., you could become not only the poster child for all TV telethons, you could turn out to be the face of the disease in Europe. Think of the endorsement deals, the public service ads, the promotional tours. You'll be so busy, you won't have time to be wheeled in and out of drag shows. Good luck, Danielle. Time to get that ball rolling. So have some undercooked shellfish for lunch and go outside in the rain without a hat. Dear Bianca, I'm an 18-year-old lesbian. I've been out as a lesbian for the last 5 years. However, I recently developed a bit of a crush on a woman who is technically a man. She's a drag queen. Am I straight or bi or gay or what? Irene from London, UK. Dear Irene, forgive me. I'm American and you're English, so there may be a language barrier. What you are is fucked. No, really fucked. Even I'm confused by your situation. I've heard this story 1,000 times, usually from a relative or prisoner, so your question is bothering me a bit. Hey, wait a minute. Dad? You were worried no one was gonna write in. Oh, thanks for your support. FYI, count me in for the next conjugal visit. Dear Bianca, after 6 months of dating, my boyfriend Tim and I finally slept together. He now says he wants to break up because my vagina smells awful. I'd only slept with one boy before, Tim, and he said the same thing. I don't know what to do. I'm clean, I shower, I bathe, douche, all the things to stay fresh. I don't have any infections or anything. Any advice? I'm only 20. Is this going to be an issue for the rest of my life? Jenny from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Dear Stinky, I'm sorry you have funky junkie. Nothing kills the mood like having to whisper sweet nothings through a hazmat mask. No matter how many times I ask, it's not kinky. Although I haven't spent much time in Coos County, I've done some research in an effort to help you. And by research, I mean I tied my assistant Jamie to the computer and said, Google vajayjay. Turns out, a stinky snatch is not all that uncommon, and some women are simply cursed with a garden of garbage. A hetero friend of mine, yes, I have some, well, one, once went out with a beautiful, sexy fashion model. On a scale of 1 to 10, she was a 12, just like me. Unfortunately, her vagina made him call 911 out the window. He said the moment she took off her panties, a noxious smell enveloped the room, and he started having flashbacks to his days getting napalmed in Nam. In less time than it takes to say, what died in your vag, his evening went from foxy to foxhole. And as gorgeous as she was, and as nice as she was, he couldn't go out with her again. He said, I'd rather stick my dick in Betty White. I said, what about Barry White? He said, him too. I said, I agree. You know that famous saying, once you go black, you lose your jewelry. So what about your putrid puss? I don't know if you can completely kill the smell, but have a couple of ideas that might minimize the musk and maybe save your relationship. Number one, instead of perfume, put dog shit behind your ears and on your wrist. It'll smell so bad, Tim will happily go south for a refreshing trip into your crusty canyon. Number two, reassure him that it's perfectly safe for him to have sex with you. Before you coax, plead, or beg him to put his fingers, face, or phallus into your she cave, send in a canary first, and wait for the bird or the Chilean miner to return. One will tell you the conditions down there. Number three, attach a stick-up air freshener deep inside your vaginal walls, unless you're dating an Asian man, in which case an inch or two ought to suffice. Number four, learn to swallow. You'll be able to keep your pants on. Number five, fuck the homeless. They won't mind. You'll just have to find a place for the shopping cart. Mwah. Hi, Bianca. I have a disease that causes me to have no hair on my head. Growing up female with no hair is a fuckery. I wear shitty wigs and hair pieces, but they're super expensive if you want them to look good, which I do because I want to blend in or even look good with my hair. But I can't afford Beyonce hair. Do you have any everyday wear hair that you would suggest? Or advice on lace fronts? Thanks, Chrissy V. Chrissy, when I started reading your letter, I thought, oh great, another cancer victim looking for help. Boring. The cunty part of me wants to say, if you won't tell me what disease you have, then I won't give you any advice. But I'm in a giving mood today. Drunk. So here it goes. Milk the ball thing for all it's worth. It's very chic, especially amongst the fashion style and artsy types. If you wear dramatic earrings, people will think it's a look, not a disability. I hope your disease does not prevent you from having the strength to put on the earrings. Plus, you'll save a fortune on wigs, glue, tape, shampoo, and conditioner. And if people do think you have cancer, milk that too. Cut the lines. Take the good parking spots. Be the first one in the triage tent during a disaster. And finally, when you're giving your boyfriend head, all you have to worry about is getting it in your eyes. Unless your secret disease has taken your eyes out too. In which case, tattoo a bullseye between your boobs and yell, fire away, when he gets close. Dear Bianca, we have three children, as do our neighbors, who we like quite a bit. The issue is that our neighbors are very heavy and their children are becoming morbidly obese. We don't want our children going over to their house for dinner because we know they will not eat healthily. We also worried about their children's health. Can we say or do anything? Donna and James from Midland, Texas. Dear D&J, aren't fat people fun? There's no end to the problems they have. First thing to remember is that Tubby Trio are not your children. And while they're disgusting to look at and probably won't live past 30, they're not your responsibility. If Massive Mommy and Dirigible Daddy don't see a problem with their obese offspring, why should you? I'm guessing they don't see the problem because they can't see over the piles of potato chips and pizza boxes on the table. I think it's perfectly fine to let your children go over to their house and play. Either before or after dinner, not during. Although I'm guessing that even snack time might be a challenge, and could involve 50 loaves of bread and a Guernsey cow. Saying something to Mr. and Mrs. Fatass might ruin a friendship, so I suggest you let go of your concern and make their hideous appearances work for you. Spend time with them in public. Go to the beach, the swim club, or all-you-can-eat buffets. Wear slim-fit clothing and dark colors and stand as close to them as you can. As passerbys, call 911 to arrange for preemptive strikes. Your family will look truly fabulous. And isn't that what really matters? Let's be real here. Dear Bianca, I had acne when I was a teenager, and it has left me with pockmarks and scars. I'm starting college in the fall, and I'm afraid boys won't go out with me because of my skin. It's not awful, just noticeable. I find you'd know more about concealment than anyone. Any suggestions? Sandy, from Batavia, New York. Hey, Crater Face. What's up? How bad are your craters? Did Neil Armstrong plant a flag on your chin and say, one small step for man? There are a few things you can do to conceal the scars. I'm assuming you can't afford dermabrasion, or you would have done it already. So let's go the more conventional route. And by conventional, I mean Instagram filters. Try foundation and base and use so much you have to put it on with a trowel. As long as it doesn't rain and you don't sweat, you'll be fine. If you want something slightly more permanent, try spackle or bathtub grout. They're not as firm as makeup, but they're waterproof. But the long-term solution has nothing to do with makeup or skin treatment. It has to do with perspective. Forget fixing yourself so you can get a cute guy. Just lower your standards and go out with ugly or disfigured boys. I'll bet there are plenty of burn victims who would love to toss you a hump. So embrace your face and head down to the hospital for reconstructive surgery. The other option is a veil made of lead. XOXO. Dear Bianca, I recently found out I can no longer rely on Depend undergarments for an undisclosed reason. Can you recommend an alternative? JPW, Dallas, Texas. Dear JPW, undisclosed reason? Seriously? How many options could there be? The problem is either brown or yellow or gray if you have liver issues. The alternative to Depends is staying home. If you need company, bring someone over who has a diaper fetish and let the fun begin. BDR. P.S. Does JPW stand for just plain wet? Bianca, my wife Helen and I have been married for 51 years. She's 5 years older than I am, and her health is starting to fail. It seems as though I'm going to outlive her. How can I prepare myself for that? Arnold, from Hallandale, Florida. Arnold, I'm sorry to hear about Helen, but we all die. I died last Tuesday night in Oklahoma City. The audience was full of old white Christians. It was a horror. Daniel had a better time in the lion's den. Since there's no way to prepare yourself for the loss of your wife of 51 years, especially if she liked anal, why not prepare her? Let Helen prepare for the upcoming event. After all, she's the one headed down the tracks. Simple, unspoken acts of kindness might ease her into a gentle goodbye. For example, when she gets in bed at night, shine a flashlight in her face and say, "Follow the light, Helen! Follow the white light!" I don't want to sound racist, but black lights matter too. Happy now, Leroy. When she's sleeping, put pennies on her eyes. In the bedroom corner, replace the crutches she leaves standing there with a shovel. Accidentally mix up her orange juice with formaldehyde. Maybe buy her an expensive silk nightgown, and when you take the tag off, tie it around her toe. FYI, take off the sales sticker so she doesn't feel cheap in her final hours. Little things matter. And finally, whisper sweet nothings into her good ear, like, "You'll always be my girl, Helen, or I will love you forever and always. And don't worry about me, I'll be fine. I've been fucking your caregiver since July, so she can become a citizen before they build that fucking wall." I hope that helps. Mwah. Bianca. Hello. I've recently underwent surgery for colon cancer and I'm currently on chemotherapy. I'm doing great, but not feeling very sexy at the moment. You always look fab, in and out of drag, so any suggestions to make myself feel a bit more desirable? Love you, Rebecca from Atlanta, Georgia. Dear Rebecca, sorry that you're going through such a tough time. Allow me to make it better. Here are a few things to pretty up your look, lift your spirits, and help your sex life. As you know, I'm dealing with a terminal disease as well. It's called ugly. If you've lost your hair, get a tattoo on your head. Something like, not too sick to suck. If you have chunks of hair, dye each of them a different color and be the rainbow coalition of people with 3 weeks to live. Get a Louis Vuitton colostomy bag. Dress for success. Write a diet book. Eat anything and waste away. Write a fashion blog. You can call it Jaundice is the New Black. Bedazzle your catheter. Wear a push-up hospital gown. Start your own fashion line. My mom went to Sloan Kettering and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Bianca, my boyfriend and I moved in together a few months ago. I have a 9-year-old daughter who lives with us. Yesterday, I was cleaning and I came upon a couple of prescription pill bottles my boyfriend had in his desk drawers. They're very strong mind-mood-altering drugs. I don't know what to do. Mimi from Miami, Florida. Dear Mimi from Miami, I love, love, love that you're Mimi from Miami, a human anagram. Just think, if you drive from Miami to Tampa, you'll be Mimi from Miami on the Tamiami Trail. Sounds like a new Carrie Underwood song. No? I think I see music royalties in my future. Ka-ching! I'm only talking about your name because it's funnier than your actual story. Seriously, Mimi, there are a couple of issues here, but only one solution. Either the boyfriend, the daughter, or the pills have to go. Considering that the daughter's in your will and the boyfriend is in your vagina, you need to get rid of those pills immediately. My address is Bianca Del Rio, P.O. Box 6969, Sissyville, USA. Bianca, my husband's brother, Bill, died last month after a long battle with smallpox. My husband wants to bury his remains in our garden. I'm uncomfortable with this, not just for health reasons, but the thought of having someone's remains buried in our yard feels icky. Any suggestions? Andrea from Denver, Colorado. Dear Andrea, who the fuck gets smallpox anymore? What is this, 1927? I was around then. Was the brother the filthy pig? I had one of those, too. Oh, wait, that was unkind. I'm a little tense at the moment. I'm watching Teen Jeopardy, and that fat kid from Omaha just missed a question a retard could answer. Allow me to rephrase. So sorry for your loss, I guess. I'm busy, Andrea. I'm scribbling this like a doctor writing a prescription. I doubt you can catch anything from an incinerated bag of Bill. Many people keep the ashes of loved ones inside their homes, on the mantle, or on the shelf in the office. I have one friend who keeps his mom's ashes right on the dining room table, because sometimes salt just isn't enough. She was fat, so it would take two hands to toss her over your shoulder for luck. Anywho, the yard thing does feel a little bit creepy. I mean, what if the gardeners accidentally mow the poor thing into mulch? Or the dogs dig him up and drop him at your feet like a squirrel he's killed? Do you say, good boy, Bingo, or vomit all over the dog and the deceased? If your husband is insistent on having his brother in the backyard, then make sure that A, he buries him in an airtight, sniff-proof container, B, buries him very deep in the ground, C, doesn't tell you where in the yard he is, and D, never has the neighborhood kids over for a scavenger hunt. And no, I have never seen forensic files. FYI, things could be worse. You may have issues with your husband burying his pox-riddled brother's ashes under your pansies, but Mrs. John Wayne Gacy had to deal with her husband burying 33 teenage tricks under the dining room. So, Andrea, be grateful. Put a smile on your weather-beaten face and tiptoe through the tulips. And remember, moisturize the body before it's in the ground. If not, it smells. Dear Bianca, I'm in my first year of recovery from alcoholism, along with addictions to meth, cocaine, Xanax, Valium, ecstasy, and whatever other party drugs I could get my hands on, and living in a treatment house. My AA sponsor, Brian D., makes me write a gratitude list first thing every morning when I get up. He says I need to start each day by thanking God for all of the blessings in my life. I understand the need to be grateful, but I'm not religious and I don't know if I believe in God. Any suggestions? Michael from Palm Springs, California. Dear Michael, your question is so complex and multifaceted, I don't know where to begin. I think I need a drink before I start. Give me a second. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back, Susan. Thanks for waiting. Oh, I'm sorry. Michael. Must be the vodka talking. For starters, your sponsor, Brian D. Is that D for douchebag? No decent person would make you write lists the moment you wake up. What happened to having coffee or taking a shit? Not to mention apologizing to your trick for the rash before you give him bus fare. I can think of at least 20 things to do when you first get up in the morning, 6 of them starting with the letter F, and none of them involve writing a gratitude list. Ever watch the Today Show? I don't. I don't care about the news. But for our purposes, let's pretend I do. Do you think the first thing Hoda Kotb does when she wakes up at 3 o'clock in the morning is write God a gratitude list? No, of course not. Hoda pulls a 50 out of her bra to give the makeup guide NBC, who will cover some of the bags on her eyes and bathe her in foundation so she looks like she's under 70. I don't mean to diss Brian D., but if he really cared about your recovery, he'd let you sleep in, pretty up, and laze your way into gratitude over waffles, mimosas, and porn. Before I continue, let me apologize for this exhaustingly long answer. But your question really pushed some buttons for me. Not sure why. Can you believe I apologize for something? Neither can I. Anyway, short form answer to your question. Move out of the treatment center and have a fucking cocktail. We're all gonna die eventually, so you might as well go out with a buzz. And now I'm going to have a few cocktails. Responding to your complicated question has sucked the life out of me. I'm back. Both Jack Daniels and I thank you for waiting. So gratitude, way overrated. In much the same way as getting a blowjob from someone with no teeth. Oh sure, the surface is all dirty and fun, but when you look at the facts in front of you, it ain't that hot. Yeah, the sucking is good. I've never heard anyone say, you know, that sloppy bitch kept dragging her gums. But the reality is, you're getting a blowjob from someone with no teeth. And there's a reason that your cum dump has no teeth. And that reason is usually, A, he or she is so old she considers a catheter an accessory. B, he or she is bulimic and her fangs rotted out from daily purgings. Or C, he/she lost them to Joseph Mengele in a bizarre twin-centric Nazi medical experiment. If the reason isn't C, you've made a horrible choice. C is acceptable due to your service provider's tragic backstory. Because no matter what drama you have going on in your life, Gummo has been through worse. I don't care if you have a 2-inch dick and a ball sack you could trip over. On a scale of 1 to Auschwitz, you're barely a 5. You know who ruined gratitude for me? Jesus freaks, that's who. Those joyful souls are way too grateful for my liking. I'm not talking about your everyday garden variety Christians who are exhausting in their own special ways, but Jesus freaks. You've seen them. They wander in the streets wearing crosses around their necks that are so big it'd be easy for them just to strap Jesus to their back, like a carry-on or a tote. And they're always happy, 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 smiling like a retarded 40-year-old man-child clapping his hands on a candy store. Or perhaps you'd recognize them because they mention his name every 5 minutes, regardless of the circumstance, occasion, or context of the conversation going on. Let's say, for example, it's a simple, wholesome breakfast at Denny's. Here's the scenario. Waitress, can I start you off with a drink? Jesus freak. Yes, I'd like a huge, teeming glass of water, which I can drink today only because Jesus the Almighty has brought the rains down from the heavens to quench the earth so that believers and repenters can satisfy their thirst and continue to spread the word of the Lord. Waitress, okay, water it is. Had I been there, the conversation would have gone differently. Here we go. Waitress, can I start you off with a drink? Jesus freak. Yes, I'd like a huge teeming glass of water, which I can drink today, only because Jesus the Almighty has brought the rains down from the heavens to quench the earth so that believers and repenters can satisfy their thirst and continue to spread the word of the Lord. Waitress, we are in California. There's a drought, you asshole. You'll get half a cup. And on your way out, maybe you can ask Jesus why the fuck it hasn't rained here in 5 years. This place is drier than Betty White's pussy. But it's not just the pasty old white trash that frequent Denny's who are Jesus freaks. Old black women are very fond of him, too. I was watching the news recently, shortly after one of America's weekly white cop shoots unarmed black man for no apparent reason events. And the entire family of the deceased black man was holding a press conference. And while the family attorney was at the microphone speaking, next to him, a woman, grandmother, great-grandmother, aunt who raised the victim as her own child because the baby mama was a teenage crack whore, kept chanting over and over, "Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus! Thank you, Jesus!" And I'm thinking, for what? Not only was your son, grandson, nephew just killed, but you're making a fool of yourself interrupting your pro bono attorney who was announcing a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Unless, of course, you're thanking Jesus for the windfall awaiting you, or the national TV exposure that might land you a series on BET or Bravo, which in that case, I stand corrected. I, too, have no idea if there is a God or not. Maybe yes, maybe no. What I do know is that if I'm on my knees, I won't be able to thank God because my mouth will be full. I'm taking a risk here, Michael, because I don't know if you have any immediate family members who are regulars on the charity circuit, but I find the families of the genetically disabled are also overly grateful to God for the blessing of having a 37-year-old brother who wears a helmet to take a bath and likes to make pies out of his poops. I'm always wondering, what's the blessing exactly? They've learned that shit is a therapeutic tool and not just a couple of brown logs floating in a toilet? If they want to be grateful, I think the gratitude comes with the fact that Billy's being differently abled gives them perfect legitimate reasons to turn to alcohol and drugs as both a coping mechanism and a food group. Which brings me back to you. You're living in a treatment center recovery house. What a terrible place to get sober! You're surrounded by sober alcoholics, people for whom everything is a trigger to drink. A simple lunch at Olive Garden sounds like this. Does the wine burn out of the chicken marsala? Is there rum in the rum cake? Can you make a virgin pina colada? Is it less harrowing being alone in a hotel room with Bill Cosby than trying to have a snack with a recovering drunk? I have a cousin, Barry Kay, who hasn't had a drink in years, which is why I haven't seen him in years. But on the occasion when we speak, usually after the unexpected death of someone we either loved or hated, he starts every conversation by announcing that he's a grateful, recovering alcoholic. And when we hang up, my first thought is always, what the fuck is he grateful for? He spent years losing jobs, puking in public, and peeing himself in restaurants. And now he spends every waking moment in church basements listening to other people with no lives share about their recovery. I mean, if I was Barry Kay, I wouldn't be grateful. I'd be quiet. The last time I saw Barry, I was walking into Forgotten Woman to buy a casual top, 36 Husky, as he was coming out of, guess where, a church basement. I made the mistake of saying, Barry, how are you? He said, guess what? Grateful. I said, why? Your shoes don't go with your pants, your fly's open, and you have coffee on your tie. He said, I'm grateful to be sober. I said, you'd be better off drunk. At least that will explain your look. He smiled and walked away. I smiled and walked into Forgotten Woman. And I was grateful that even though I'd had cocktails for breakfast, I could still match a simple summer shift with an open-toe wedge. P.S. I don't actually eat at Denny's. Just like my handsome 28-year-old Peruvian gardener Ronaldo, it's beneath me. I chose Denny's as a reference so I could seem more like an everyday person and therefore make the story more accessible to the reader. Dear Bianca, I've been trying to lose weight and keep it off for years with varying degrees of success. I've tried Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, Deal a Meal, you name it, I've tried it. I belong to 3 different gyms. I've worked with a trainer. I'm even seeing a psychiatrist, yet nothing helps. I don't know what to do. I'm beside myself. Janice from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Janice, of course you're beside yourself. You weigh 500 pounds. You're beside everybody. You're two people. Actually, three people. If they're all frail, petite, or in ill health with stage four something or other. Being morbidly obese is much different from being just fat. Anyone can get fat. Morbid obesity takes work and requires drive and determination. Good for you. Be proud of your stick-to-itiveness. You've made a concerted, diligent effort to become a sideshow attraction, and all of your hard work has paid off. In fact, why not be a sideshow attraction? Why not join a circus or a carnival and let your massativity work for you? Monetize your girth. You can sit on a stool, in a cage, half-nude, and let people throw peanuts or coins or dollar bills at you while you chow down on a couple of po' boys or a small horse. Ka-ching! I say, Janice, why stop at 500 pounds? Why not go to 600 or 700, assuming your heart, bed, and reinforced Dodge Ram can handle it? Then you could start your career in television. One of my favorite shows is My 600-Pound Life on TLC. Janice, if you haven't seen it, put down that vat of Chunky Monkey and run, well, I mean lumber, into the family room and turn on the television. It's a fabulous show. It's about an Armenian doctor, whose name no one can pronounce, in Houston, who does gastric bypass surgery on grotesque fat slobs. Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I mean the unfortunate people dealing with weight issues. The patients have to be at least 600 pounds to be cast on the show. It also helps if they live in a trailer and have crucifixes on the wall and lots of children bringing them food. So stop killing yourself trying to lose all that weight. Embrace your obesity and have fun killing yourself with Big Macs. Go out and gain the other 100 pounds necessary to be one of Dr. What's-His-Name's patients. Janice, you don't need to make a call for help. You need to make a call for seconds and thirds. And when you get close to the magic number of 600 pounds, call me, and I'll call the casting director at TLC. Good luck and bon appetit. Bianca, chewing the fat. My fascination with fatties began in 1991 when I was a DQIT, drag queen in training. I remember watching TV one night, snuggled up on the couch with my court-appointed guardian, when the nightly news came on. The lead story was about the death of a 1,200-pound man named Walter Hudson from West Hempstead, New York. Shockingly, Walter had had a heart attack and died at the age of 47. And he was so fat that the local fire rescue squad had to cut a hole in the side of his house to pull him out with a forklift. I was so shocked by the spectacle of Walter's body being pulled out of the house, it was like a dead orca being removed from its tank at SeaWorld, that I vowed, with God as my witness, that even if I crammed myself into a size 2 evening gown or summer shift, I would never eat so much that a SWAT team had to unzip me. I've always wondered how morbidly obese people have children. I mean, actually have them. How does a 7-pound baby wend its way through hundreds of pounds of fat and find the birth canal, let alone the vagina? I imagine it's like Shelley Winters in the Poseidon Adventure, frantically swimming for life, looking for an escape hatch as the ship fills with water. If you haven't seen the Poseidon Adventure, it's like Titanic without the good-looking people. And I'm shocked that when the baby comes out, it's usually healthy. I figured that the baby was so desperate to get out, to get both air and, well, it's a vagina. Yuck. It probably shot out of the snatch hatch at full force, like a hooker doing the ping pong ball trick, and smashed into a wall across the room and got all flattened and fucked up. But no, that doesn't happen. Another one of nature's unexplained miracles, like morning rain, gorgeous sunsets, and Lady Bunny's career. Morbid obesity intrigues me on many levels. As my dear, dear, I can't believe she's not a drag queen friend, Julie Andrews once sang, "Let's start at the very beginning." A very good place to start. For uber fatties, the very beginning is breakfast, which is followed by another breakfast and another after that. Then, of course, comes snack time, the 3 hours of noshing that will tide you over until lunches, after which comes, you get my point, which is, how do you get so fat that Richard Simmons drops by with a camera crew and pets you like a zoo animal? How much do you have to eat to go from being heavy to husky to what the fuck happened? As I mentioned in my reply to Janice's letter on my 600-pound life, many of the show's stars are so fat that they can't get out of bed to get food for themselves, and they rely on their spouses, children, whoever else they can fit in their trailer to bring them food. First time I saw 6-year-old Jimmy dragging a little red wagon filled with 200 Big Macs and a potato field full of fries into Mommy's room, I thought, this motherfucker needs to join the Teamsters. He's hauling quite a load. I'm also fascinated as to how fatties manage to conceive. It's a geometric phenomenon. If the wife is the bedridden mountain of meat, how does the man find the hole? Strap a GPS to his junk? FYI, I've only seen one real vajayjay, up close, in a dirty magazine. I had no idea what I was looking at. The model had her legs open to reveal a giant, hairy maw. It looked like JFK's head wound. I didn't know if I was looking at a porn picture or an autopsy photo. And if it's the man who's morbidly obese, how does the woman get in? Thankfully, weight gain has no effect on dick size. If Michael Fassbender gains 300 pounds, his knob will still be dragging along the floor like a Swiffer. I assume the woman gets on top. Otherwise, we're looking at a bone-breaking, junkyard, car-crushing scenario. I've often wondered, and by that I mean obsessed over, if Ellen Barkin's flattened features were a result of letting her fat-ass ex-husband Ron Perlman use her face as a lawn chair. Whatever. Ellen is still hot. So maybe chubby chasing has its upsides. Who am I to judge? I could go on, but all this fat shaming is making me hungry. Chapter 2. Love is a long and slender thing. Love means never having to say you're sorry. Eric Siegel. Love means never having to say, that's just a cold sore, right? Bianca Del Rio. I received a lot of letters asking me for advice on love and romance. As I sat there watching my assistant Jamie's fingers bleed from opening all the envelopes, I had two immediate thoughts. Number one, people have no greater understanding of the art of romance today than they did 1,000 years ago. And two, people are really stupid. They're asking me for advice on romance and love? I'm alone! 3 cocktails and a shirtless Zac Efron selfie, and I dump a load on my Barca Lounger throw pillow and pass out. What the fuck do I know about love? That said, I answered the questions with as much integrity as I could, which as any queen with an IQ over 17 knows, ain't much. Dear Bianca, my husband says my vagina is too loose for him. What should I do? Dame withheld. Melania! How are you, my love? I bet this isn't what you expected when you signed that prenup. What should you do? Call a good lawyer in Slovenia. That's what. Might I suggest Gloria Allredzik? Until then, cut a lemon wedge and put it in your pussy. It sucks it right up. Bianca, I'm a 26-year-old pansexual girl from Australia who seems to only find gay men attractive. Help me, Sam. Sam, what is pansexual? You only get moist touching a skillet? You rub barbware all over your snatch? Even I, the whore of Menlo Park, have no idea what you're talking about. As for advice, not sure I can help. I, too, am attracted to gay men. Of course, as a gay man, I actually have a shot at it, while you, my Aussie jackaroo, will be left alone to tickle your fun button to old Peter Allen concert tapes. No man or gay Joey will want to get into your pouch. Sorry about it. Hashtag fucked up fag hag. Dear Bianca, I just had a baby, 10 pounds, 3 ounces, and now my husband and I are dealing with post-pregnancy vagina. Your thoughts? Robin, from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Dear Robin, I'm not sure I'm the right person to ask. Since A, I don't have a husband, B, I don't have a child. And C, I don't have a vagina. But what the hell? Since when has not knowing anything stopped me from opening my big mouth? And I say big mouth, even though my mouth is probably way smaller than your post-pregnancy vagina. I'm serious. While it's true that I can unhinge my jaw like a snake to allow a big, meaty cock, there's no way I could push a 10-pound baby out of there. Question 1. Exactly how beat up is your mommy pussy? Since the baby weighed over 10 pounds, the size of a basketball or a small sofa bed, I'm guessing the damage is fairly extensive and that your vaginal walls broke like the levees during Hurricane Katrina. Are your lips so distended that on a windy day they flap in the breeze and you become airborne like Sally Field in The Flying Nun? Is your vag now so deep and wide that tourists on mules are taking tours to get to the bottom of it? If so, my advice is to call a plastic surgeon or FEMA. Or a green and healthy option would be to feed your vagina an organic lemon. Question 2 is, WTF do you mean when your husband is struggling with your post-pregnancy pussy? Struggling how? When he goes down, does he fall in the way baby Jessica fell into that well? Is there an echo giving him tinnitus? Or is that the walls are so far apart that his dick can't hit the sides? If that's the case, I say string a tightrope across your coos and teach him how to walk it. It'll be fun for the both of you. He'll get a sense of adventure that will compensate for the lack of friction, and you'll feel like you're fucking a French acrobat instead of a produce manager from Wisconsin. Dear Miss Bianca, my wife won't stop ignoring me for her tablet. All she does when she gets home is play games on it and watch YouTube videos. I try everything to make myself interesting and to get her attention, but to no avail. She only sees her tablet. Sometimes I feel like I only ever see the screen in front of her face and not her. I fear I might even be forgetting what she looks like. Miss Del Rio, I am in desperate need of your help. Annalisa S. Dear Annalisa, you're experiencing what is known as lesbian bed death, LBD, which is when women in a committed relationship have less and less sex as the relationship goes on and on. Eventually, they stop screwing altogether, gain 70 pounds apiece, bring their cats into the bed, and go to sleep watching reruns of This Old House. I'm sorry to say, Annalisa, but there is no cure for LBD. But it can be treated with vibrators, dildos, produce, or sitting on washing machines and anything plugged into a wall. But you girls know about that already. FYI, the term lesbian bed death was coined in 1983 by University of Washington sociologist Pepper Schwartz. And if anybody should know about LBD, it should be someone named Pepper Schwartz. I mean, that name screams, not tonight. I'm too tired to lick your puss, Miriam. Or maybe it was Pepper's girlfriend, Miriam, who created the lesbian bed death situation. Maybe Miriam was even more Jewish than Pepper Schwartz, and due to the kosher dietary laws, she wasn't allowed to nibble her nips while licking her lips. You know, you can't have milk and meat and all that. So how do you expect your love life to simmer when you constantly have to change pots and dishes? It's like being colored in the 60s. You don't know which water fountain to use. It's very confusing. So, go to the store, buy a couple of good cucumbers with bumps, some baby oil, and put on Melissa Etheridge's greatest hit. When you get home, give your girlfriend a hearty slap on the back, hope your friendship ring doesn't get caught in her hair, compliment her permed mullet, and go into the bathroom for some special me time. FYI, there's always an outlet in a bathroom. Even a gay man knows that. Have fun, BDR. Dear Bianca, I'm a brown girl. My mom wants me to find a brown guy. Where do I find them? Advice needed. Mim, from Glasgow, Scotland. Mim, wait and be patient. Between Syrian refugees, Islamic terrorists, and the Kardashians' upcoming European vacation, there'll be plenty of brown people in Scotland soon enough. Have you thought about scat? It works in a pinch. Dear Bianca, I just passed my driving test, and my fiancé won't buy me a car. I've tried the usual,
If you love me, you would. And oh my God, you don't love me.
Have I lost my spoiled bitch ways, or is he just being a cunt? Much love. Dear whoever, yes and yes. Yes, you've lost your bitch ways, and yes, he's being a cunt. That said, it's not too late to regain your power, girl. Have you ever read the story of Lysistrata? Oh, wait, what am I thinking? You misspelled spoiled. What are the odds you've read ancient Greek mythology? Anyway, the Cliff Notes version. The women of Greece wanted the men to stop waging wars. Lysistrata, who was the most famous real housewife of Sparta, convinced the townswomen to stop having sex with their husbands until they stopped fighting. In 20 minutes, the gals had peace on earth and the men had a piece of puss. I suggest you do the same. Close your holes and bag your hands. Tell your fiancé, no car, no coups. You'll be giving him head in the backseat of a BMW faster than you can say, don't come on the seats, it's a new car. Bianca, how do I tell my girlfriend of 4 years that I'm gay? Leo H. Dear Leo, this is simple. Next time she's giving you a blowjob, stop her and say, no, 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 you're not doing it right. When I suck a cock, I put my left hand here and she'll be out of the door before you get around to telling her what you do with your fingers. Happy sucking. Dear Bianca, I can't make guys stay. We go on a couple of dates and they're great, but they never stick around longer than that. Can you recommend a higher quality rope they can't chew through? Love, Johnny. Johnny, you don't need higher quality rope. You need higher quality dick. If you had a better handle on how to handle your handle, maybe they'd stick around a little longer. I once had an Asian boyfriend who was great in bed. Okay, he wasn't really a boyfriend. He was a delivery guy from the Szechuan kitchen. But instead of me giving him a tip, he'd give me his tip. He put the soup on the table and his balls on my chin, and we'd let the chow fun begin. Needless to say, he had a small egg roll, but he really knew how to use it. Beyond creative. His favorite game was Pearl Harbor. His dick was a kamikaze plane, and my mouth was the USS Arizona. The sex was explosive. To this day, I can't watch the History Channel without popping a chubby. Miss Bianca, my transgender husband passed away this July. We'd been together for many years before he transitioned. I was gay before he transitioned, and I'm still gay now. How do I present myself as gay when I tell people my husband passed away? The assumption is that I'm straight. I want to present as a gay person without having to share a 7-minute monologue about transgender and sexuality. Help! Thanks, Betsy. Dear Betsy, maybe you introduce yourself as Betsy and not the widow Betsy. Or say something like, my husband passed away 427 days after he had his vag turned into a schlong. Or, yes, I had a husband, but now I'm a purveyor of puss. Or you could just wear a pink pussy hat and an Ellen t-shirt. Dear Bianca, I just found out that my boyfriend of 2 years cheated on me with one of my friends. I brought it up to them, and they both said separately that it was a one-time drunken mistake. I believe them, but don't know what to do. Any suggestions? Amy from Jacksonville, Florida. Dear Amy, find new friends. Find a new boyfriend. Or fuck your boyfriend's brother and your friend's boyfriend and call it even. Mwah. XOXO. Bianca, how do I comically come out to my Muslim parents? Humza Ali M. To Humza it may concern. Do you really want to make them laugh until their stomachs hurt or until they behead you? This is a really serious question. Thank God, thank Allah, you've come to the right place. For who knows more about an ancient religion steeped in sexist, homophobic dogma and tradition than a tired old drag queen from Bayou Country? First of all, I have no idea if you're a boy or a girl. Is Huzma male, female, or a sturdy new all-terrain vehicle from General Motors? I find Muslim names very confusing. For example, here in America, we had boxing great Muhammad Ali, but we also have the comedian Ali Wentworth. Ali was Muslim, but Ali is not. See my point? For your information, Ali Wentworth is married to ABC newsman George Stephanopoulos, and Stephanopoulos is Greek for Ali. If you're a boy, don't say anything. They'll cut your head off if they find out you're giving head. You know those white sheets you wear out there in the desert? Start getting them in floral prints with a higher thread count. Your parents will quietly figure it out on their own. If you're a girl, you won't have to say anything. You'll be forced to cover head to toe in heavy black burkas in the desert. You'll be sweating like a pack animal. When mom and dad wonder why you aren't married, you won't have to open the lesbian closet. Just say, why don't I have a guy? Because it's 800 fucking degrees out here, and under this burqa, I smell like a dead camel. Not even a blind cleric would want to hump. My advice? Sit them down and say, Mom, Dad, I have something to tell you. I don't want you to be mad. Don't worry, I'm not Jewish. And after that, anything should be okay. Dearest Bianca, I'm 16 years old. My older sister Donna, she's 17, is really pretty, and I'm jealous of her. I'm decent looking, but she's way prettier. I'm tired of being called the smart one. The smart ones never go out with the quarterback. They do his homework while he goes out with the pretty ones. I want to be as pretty as my sister. What can I do? Beth, from Buffalo, New York. Dear Beth, oh, my heart goes out to you. Being the ugly sibling is never easy. Just ask my sister. But I think I can help. For starters, how about a little perspective? You live in Buffalo, New York. I mean, it's a great city, but not exactly a hotbed for supermodels or Playboy bunnies. In fact, the prettiest girl in Buffalo is a divorced 58-year-old father of six named Stosh Wisniewski, which means either your vision of beauty has been blinded by one too many blizzards, or you're really not a looker. So short of moving to Cleveland, where you'd be considered a 10, here are a couple of things you can do. Number one, have plastic surgery to look just like your sister. Number two, tell all the guys in your school that Donna has vaginal warts and that her coos looks like a holiday gourd. Number three, pay your lesbian carrier $50 to hit her in the face a couple of times with a garden shovel. If all that fails, and she's still the pretty one, then change your name to Eleanor Roosevelt, marry a rich cripple, and become a lesbian yourself. Dear Bianca, being gay, overweight, bald, and physically disabled means I have been single my whole life and I haven't had sex for over 9 years. Here's my question. How many cats can a bitter 36-year-old queen adopt before I turn into a crazy cat lady? Miguel M. from Los Angeles, California. Dear Miguel, you say you're a bald, overweight, physically disabled, bitter old queen. That's not completely true. You're only 36. So don't give up hope. They say there's someone for everyone, and I believe that. I'm sure that somewhere in this great country of ours, there's a special man waiting just for you. It's up to you to find him. So shine your scalp, wax your belly, polish your wheels, and get going. There are 50 states to search, but I suggest you start your manhunt at the local Braille Institute. Good luck, Miguel. Keep me posted. Is it okay if I give your number to Lady Bunny? XOXO, BDR. Dear Bianca, my wife and I have been married for 35 years. We have two grown children who are out of the house. Since my wife went through menopause, she has no interest in sex whatsoever. According to the doctors we've been to, this is not going to change. Last month, I started seeing female massage therapists who gave me massages with happy endings. But now I feel guilty, not happy. I don't want to hurt my wife, but I also don't want to spend the rest of my life in a loveless marriage. I don't know what to do. Heartsick and horny in Hartford. Dear H&H, this is a very common problem among hetero married men. Not so much for gay men, but my elderly sisters could get a stiffy for the coroner doing their autopsies. They could get their dicks harder than their arteries. Have you told your wife about your meetings with Happy Fingers and her fondling friends? I'm betting not. One of the things you could do is tell her. Just because her vag is bone dry doesn't mean your bone doesn't need wetting. While her legs may not be open, perhaps her mind is, and she might be okay with allowing a massage therapist to work on the muscles in your dick. But I doubt it. I don't believe in staying in a loveless marriage. Hell, I don't even believe in staying in a loving marriage. Who wants to hit the same old hole night after night, month after month, year after year? Boring. The first time you visit Howl Caverns, it's very exciting. The second time, not so much. But the 8,000th time, even El Chapo would get tired of the same old tunnel. If your wife can't prime her pooch to prime your pump, maybe it's time to part ways.